Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, before you legends sit down and listen to Ado and I dissect all things front row forward, I just want to remind you that the Dual Position Podcast is proudly sponsored by Bet with Joel, Australia's leading sports investment team and the highest performing sports tipping service in the country, bar none. Now, since we've announced this wonderful sponsorship, a lot of you guys have messaged me, told me how fantastic you found the service and how much it's taken your punting to the next level. With packages starting from just $0, it is fully tailored for each client's specific needs. For more information on results and packages, visit www.betwithjoel.com and use code SCWLISTENER for 50% off the entire NBA season, or use the code SCWFREEWEEK for your first week absolutely free.
Don't raise trade just yet. Sit down and strap in for the Ultimate Super Coach Podcast. It's time to win your leagues and dominate your mates.
This is the Dual Position Podcast, hosted by Whisperer and Adrianosaurus.
I will tell you what, mate. I am touching my team more than a 14-year-old touches himself. It's getting ridiculous. I'd love to do some more team reveal content, but I feel like we'd be doing a new episode every 6 hours.
Yeah, it is a bit that way. You know, because of your podcast and I'm talking about Supercoach all the time, I certainly am on there changing it more than I would if I didn't. And as a result, you kind of get to a point where you start to confuse yourself a little bit. And, you know, I've changed my team a number of times, and then we watch the trials and we start to think about things in a different way, like can you put your Tikamano at front row two? And you know, some people have been a little bit underwhelming as well, so it is right up there with the times that we all change our teams left, right and center. So I mean, I posted mine to the story yesterday and it's different again already.
Yeah, so is mine. Mine was different about 2 hours after it. Look, I think out of the 25 I've got probably 18 down pat. It's just working out a combination of a couple of guns, whether you're going to go with the Cleary Hines route or the Cleary Grant route. I think it just comes down to that combination. But today we're here to talk about the big boys up front, probably the most inconsequential position in Supercoach. But if you can nail it, we saw from last year with like guys like Joe Tarpany, that it could definitely provide some reward. Now, you mentioned Big Stefano. There's a couple of strategies to go this year. Do you go, you know, two premiums? Do you go two middies? Do you go a cheapie and a midi? There's, you know, all kinds of different variants to go down. But today we're going to discuss probably 15 of the most common names you're going to see floating around a few teams. And number one is your boy out of Canberra, Joe Tarpany.
Yeah, big Joey Taps. He played in the Indigenous versus the Māori yesterday. He looked really good there as well. I think he cleaned up about 60 Supercoach points in about 60 minutes, which is good to see. Looking lean, and he was still a lot, you know, punchy, wasn't he? Breaking tackles and doing sort of fends and offloads and stuff. So he doesn't look like he's left off. He's kicked off this year where he left off last year. He's going to cost you $699,500. I sort of came into this season saying there's no way with the guns that I want that I'm going to go expensive in the front row. I've had a couple of builds where I've gone expensive enough to get Cotter in. I can't say I've had any iteration of my team with Joseph Tarpany in there, but if you're going to go a gun in the front row, there are a very select few that you could choose, and Joe Tarpany is one of them. He's 20.5% ownership. That's because he did so well last year, and the funny thing about him is he actually started pretty slow and sort of worked up to that sort of you know, the gun, absolute weapon gun he was. And the average last year was 66.5. I thought it was interesting to point out, but because I did say he started worse than he finished. Rounds 1 to 11, his average was 57 last year. From rounds 12 to 25, the average was 72.
Yeah, I remember buying him in round 13 specifically for buy coverage. I had no intention of holding him, and then he became a borderline keeper. What do you think of the 20.5% ownership? That's one in every five teams. That seems high. I mean, not high for Joe Tarpany because he's a stud, but I didn't expect one in five people to sort of own him.
Well, yeah. I mean, I kind of felt like, you know, him and Tino and I thought Cotter might be. You did Cotter. So we'll, was it me? I did Cotter. We'll have a look at him. I think the spread could be evenly over those. But 20.5 on Joey Taps at nearly 700K. I mean, buy yourself a bloody Murray. You know, he'll do. You're hoping that Tappany repeats what he did last year. You know Murray's going to do it. So it does surprise me a little bit. But look, here's what I'm projecting him for this year. 70.4. Much like how he finished last year with the minutes, with the his career PPM or the PPM over the last 2 years for him has been 1.3. So he's got an exceptional PPM. I'm saying if he gets 55 minutes at his let's drop the PPM to 1.28. Let's forget about the last 2 years. Let's say he has a worse PPM than last year and he only gets 55 minutes. He's going to get 70.4.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing we've always had with Joe Tappany is he going to get the minutes? Look, Josh Papali'i he's an elder statesman now, and it's kind of like they've flipped positions. It's not 55-64 Josh Papali'i, it's for Tappany, and it's the 45 minutes, you know, for Papa now, and Tappany's the one that's going to take, you know, the Josh Papali main front rower spot. So that is where I'm predicting this year. Yes, it is. I'm tipping him to be a 70+, aren't I? And that's a huge call, I reckon, because you're really going to need everything to fall in place. The 55 minutes, and you're going to need his PPM. I was happy enough with what I saw yesterday that I feel very confident about it. The buys are in round 8, round 16, and round 20. In draft, I'd actually put him ahead of Tino. Now, we talk about draft and having Jewel being an absolute diamond when it comes to draft, but Tino's going to go off to Origin, and Tappany being a New Zealander is not going to do that. So I'm all over Tappany as the top pick, and he's got that over Cotter as well. So I think he'll probably go in round 2, to be quite honest, or depends on the size of your league, because everyone's going to be grabbing those ceiling players, which is not what Tappany is. He'll stretch and everything's going to go right for him to get a 70, whereas people are going to grab fullbacks, halfbacks, Murrays, you know, these ones that do 70+ easily. But, you know, I prefer him out of those other two premiums in for draft in the front row, just because you're going to have him for more of the year. His pros, well, look, we lost IPAP in the front row forward. So Tappany, Cotter, and Tino, they're the premiums. And Tappany's the only one that doesn't play Origin. From the halfway point of last year, he went bang at a 72 average, and that even included a 32-minute game. So he had a short, really short game in there as well. So maybe he could get that again, but who knows? It included a 32-minute game. Papa's getting older, and Tappany's the main man in the Raiders pack. I'm tipping 70+, and with any luck, the 50 minutes average that he got last year as a total over the year will jump to 55. The cons... The minutes have always been a concern, and we've always said Tappany would be an absolute weapon if he gets the minutes. Last year we had a game in the 30s, I just mentioned, and there were several low 40s minutes. We need 50 minutes minimum for it to be, you know, if he does like rounds 1 to 12 and he's getting 45, maybe a tick under 50 minutes, you're going to be regretting it, because he needs to hit the ground with 50 right from the start. And he will average that 70+. Can he produce back-to-back amazing seasons? That's the question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tipping him too. I have had iterations of my side with Tappany in there. I do expect, you know, around a 70 average. I think we're very fortunate with the slow start that he had, that he is priced at a 66 or 66.5. So even if you aren't looking at him as a keeper, which I think he is, even if you're not, there's still, you know, 5 points of value there. Being a Kiwi also helps. I'm a huge, huge fan. I think Josh Papali'i is the kind of player who isn't selfish. He understands that he's on the way out, and he's more than happy to hand up the mantelpiece. And yeah, Tappany looked really, really good yesterday for the Māori All-Stars. And yeah, just reaffirms his status as the best front row forward for Supercoach, in my opinion. You mentioned Tino a couple of times. He's probably battling with Tino. Last year, Tino averaged 67.0, price at 704K, currently in just under 10% of teams at 9.8 at time of recording. This year, I've tipped him at a 69.5, so very, very slightly under Tappany. Now, I guess the debate with Tino versus Tappany is Tino has the Jewel, which is probably more handy compared to Tarpany. And that's why in draft I've got him going late two, early three in terms of the rounds. The duel is, you know, is nice from a draft and a classic point. That's probably why the Tarpany versus Tino debate is so close, because of the additional value that Tino provides at 2RF. The pros, you know, he really excelled from a Supercoach standpoint in the back end of the year last year, averaging 82 in the front row in his time finishing out there. So really, really, you know, great stuff. 82 surpasses Tarpany in what he did. Although Tarpany's was over a longer standpoint, you know, Tino cleared it relatively easy. He is the Titans leader and should see a bulk of the minutes and will probably end as the front rower too. I don't think that's... I mean, you could make a debate that he does finish as the front row one based off his stint in the front row last year. The cons for Tino is like a weird round five bye. Now, it's not early, it's not late. It just sort of halts any momentum that he might have in your team. For a cheaper price and a higher projected average, we've mentioned that you can get Tarpany, who does have the later buy. However, Tino does have that handy duel, which you could argue does hold more value. And a staple on the Queensland side, he will always miss a good portion of the year, whereas Tarpany won't. So the question comes out of your two front row guns, because we only have, you know, two out-and-out guns. Are you taking... I've got Tino at a 69.5, let's just call it 70. Are you still leaning towards Tarpany if you had to pick one for your side?
Yes, I would, because, you know, you've got that awkward round five, and, you know, if worst comes to worst, and you, because they're both guns, so, you know, you don't prioritize usually moving out guns unless, you know, it's like a Harry Grant where he's going to have a, he's going to miss a big chunk of games. So I think that you could be in a position where you're like, oh, damn, I can't get rid of them. And in that event, I think they're both going to score the same and you're just going to have more games out of Tarpany.
You're also going to know, like, if shit hits the fan, Tarpany's not getting moved around, whereas Tino could obviously just go back to 13, which he had a significant, you know, downturn in scoring.
Yeah, so look, it's a flip a coin, I think, but the winning thing for Tino is the duel. The winning thing for Tarpany is that he's going to be available for more games, doesn't have the early buy, and I think this year that's more valuable. So I would take big Joey Taps personally.
For 80K more, talk to me on Ruben Cotter.
Ruben Cotter, what a year it was for him last year. Wouldn't it be nice if he had duel? You know, they give it to Tino. I suppose they're going to throw Tino back into lock, but they did that all year last year with Ruben Cotter and what's his name? Lolo. So, I mean, seems a bit stiff to me. 623,400. Now, he is a nice little, you know, that's 70K, isn't it, from those two guys in your pocket?
He's getting into anti-pod territory, though, at 24% ownership. That's awfully high.
Yeah, but, I mean, look, if you can anti-pod Tarpany with Cotter, I guess, and save yourself 70K. Yeah, I don't know, but true, they are both. I can't believe that people that's so many. That's huge. That's 40% of players.
I guess out of that 40%, out of the 24 that own Cotter and the 21 that own Tarpany, I would suspect maybe less than 0.5% own them both.
Yeah, madness if you own them both. Where's the rest of the good players in your team if you're going that big in the front row? Look, he's 23.9%, which is a huge ownership. It doesn't surprise me because he was very good last year. I think he has leveled up in his career as well, even from the halfway point of last year. And actually, doing a bit of study on him, he was affected by, you remember that period where he got injured in Origin then had to have 7 games off?
Yeah, I held him the entire time because I was like, yeah, I don't know what to do with him here. So I just held.
Well, his back end was affected by that. You can see a little dip in the score. So I'm not expecting that this year if he stays healthy. Look, his 2022 average was 59.3. So it was a little bit behind those guys. Round 1 to 11, I did that with Tarpany. His average was 64.6. And the round 12 to 25, the average was 51. Now, that round 12 to 25 was coming back off that 7 games off. And it was a dip of 13 points in the average. So I'm projecting him this year for right around that run 1 to 11. I'm tipping him for 63-point average. That's his point per minute of 1.05 times 60 minutes in that pack. His PPM over the last 2 years has been a 1.05, and I think his PPM is getting better. I wouldn't even be surprised to see him go up this year more to that 1.2, like Tappany and Tino. If that's the case, it's going to be high 60s and getting around where these guys are going to be, because I think he's going to get 60 minutes. Do you think that pack he will?
Yeah, I think so. I think revert back to when you're doing your analysis on Cotter, I would revert back to his round 1 to 11 form. And in saying that, I know we've pumped up Tino and Tarpany, but we've both said it, you know, best case scenario, they're both 70-point scorers. And, you know, for 620K, you can get a guy who I think would be around 64, you think 63 for Ruben Cotter. So
yep.
I think if you've got 700K to spend on a front row forward, probably save your money and put it into Cotter.
Yep. Buys for him at 15, 19, and 24. We probably think he's going to go off to Origin as well, but there's no early buys, is there?
No. And you've also got that good draw that we talk about. I guess you can look into that in 2 points. Do you look at it that the Cowboys will be dominating, so there's less work for Cotter to do? Or do you look at it that the weaker teams maybe leakier through the middle, so Cotter could have some more attacking advantage? I'm probably indifferent. I'm not too fussed on the draw when it comes to Cotter. And yeah, I think coming back from the injury is going to be huge for him. And I think we do get him at a pretty discounted price. Do you see him as a season-long keeper? Probably not. But, you know, doesn't have the buy until round 15. So you're going to get 3-4 solid months out of him before you can flick him on to someone like a Tarpany, for example.
Yep. I really think that he's a viable option. And if you're going to go premium in the front row, I don't think you can go wrong with any of those threes. What I will say is it was a bit of a worry because he did start the year with an injury and he did have that mid-year injury. We saw that's a slight worry with him because he is a smaller kind of body and he goes a million miles an hour, isn't he? It's kind of like Reed Marnie, that smaller size one that does go, they hit as hard, don't they? And they go as hard as the big boys. But we saw him pick up a couple of injuries and he has had a bit of an injury history, hasn't
he?
But,
I was going to say, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm just scrolling back through my Instagram as we're talking, but I remember doing a post on him in the preseason last year. And I think a really crazy stat with Cotter was in 4 years, he never played 5 games back to back to back to back to back. So he was always in and out.
Saw last year it affected him when he came back, but to the tune of 13 points. So if he's fit as a fiddle this year, you're in good shape. If he does get some injuries, I think it's could be a bit of a worry. Peyton is one of those hard to peg coaches, isn't he? Like, I owned Lolo last year and it was so frustrating because he just seemed to, we kept saying, oh, he's saving him for finals and it just never sort of happened. I think that he's, out of all of them, Cotter's probably the one that he's prioritizing minutes for. So I'm less worried about him as I am for others. But, you know, you never know with that coach. Those buys around 15, 19, 24, that's why he's not a season keeper. Around 15, 19, it's right around Origin. He might get rested because he's got a heavy workload, hasn't he? So yeah, and then want to move him on.
Round 24 is obviously a very crucial round for super coaches. With Cotter, outside of last year, he had played 21 games in 3 seasons, and obviously last year did have the injury issues as well. So there is that concern. I just think out of those 3 premium front row forwards, I'd probably lean towards Cotter. When I said at the start of the analysis that I didn't realize he'd be as high as he was owned, I thought he'd go under the radar a little bit because he did lose the duel and, you know, was slow at the back end of last year. But a lot of people have seen through that. And I do commend that because I do think there is, you know, a lot of value for him.
Yeah, definitely.
In the tier 2 bracket, we sort of move down to guys like Tohu Harris at 640K, currently 8.5% owned. Last year averaged 60.9. This year I've got him pegged at about a 63. Now with Tohu, he's got buys in 12, 15, and 22. In draft, it's hard. It's hard to do an analysis. I've got him as a sort of a late 4th round pick. It's a tough one. It depends on your belief of the injury. Look, it is his full. He does have a full preseason back after that major injury, which is obviously a big tick. We know historically, he doesn't have an early buy, so you can lock Tohu down for a good 3 months before buys get tricky, or you want to move him on. And he is, you know, a proven gun in years gone by. Does have the handy duel. The cons, a really awkward price, which doesn't see a whole lot of room for growth. Look, Ado, I've got him pegged at a 63. I don't see us ever getting back to 68 average of Tohu of old.
No, well, that's it. You know, it's kind of like an aging, you know, weapon of a player in Tohu. Would you just go an up-and-comer like Cotter, you know, that with a nice, easy draw to start the year. Yeah, I can see him getting to 63 this year, but he's in his, how old is he? He's in his 30s.
Well, that's the thing. I go on to say he's now 31, turning 32, coming off a major injury. And I think the big thing in years gone by that, like, the Warriors have always looked to Tohu because they haven't had a fantastic forward pack, but now they've got a, you know, pretty handy forward pack. So they could be less reliant on Tohu.
Yeah, and if he is actually in the front row, you know, they're putting him in the front row rotation, I think that there's probably, you know, a cause to maybe give him a little rest as well.
That's the thing. I've got him pegged at a 63 average, Ado, but I wouldn't be surprised come October you and I do a season review podcast and Tohu's sitting there at a 56, 57. Like, I think it could go any way. Like, I've got no interest in him for Classic. I think there's cheaper jewels with the same output. And, yeah, 640K, when you can go Cotter for 623, yeah, you don't have the jewel, but you've just got a far, far better stable output for Tohu. So, yeah, the 8.5% for me seems awfully, awfully high.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, it's probably a lot of Kiwis. And probably, I mean, when you're one of these players that in the past was a weapon, it's you try to go, you take it too long. You go, not them, you know, he's going to just do his best, isn't he? He's going to play what the coach wants him to. But I think we you know, it's like when Gallen eventually started to slow down, and we've seen the Guns start to eventually run down. I think that could be the case for Tohu this year. I'm just worried about it just a little bit.
Hey, I'm really, really keen on 1.7% owned Tevita Totola. Tell me about him.
Yeah, Tevita Totola, he's 535,300, 1.7% owned. His average in 2022 was 50.9. Look, he's finished the year. I like to look at the start of the year for him was 39.2 up to around 11, and he finished the year nicely. I think it was because he sort of took a real leadership pack. Remember when he sort of like, wow, Totola's actually having a ripping year. The moment that you thought that was around 12 to 25 where he averaged 61.58. Now, 61.58, that's unders for 535.
Yeah, I'm a huge, huge fan of Totola. You mentioned here, like, you'll go on to say in the pros that they've lost Mark Nichols. I think they've also had a couple of injuries. I think Harm Saleh picked up something in the trial, and the name escapes me, but there was a major injury to another one of their middles in the week just gone by as well.
Oh, the Havili.
Yes, Havili. So there's, you know, I think there's going to be a fair few minutes here for old Tevita.
Yeah, well, maybe. Look, I'm projecting him for 55 this year, but that is 50 minutes at his career PPM. The PPM is 1.1. I think he could probably – it's more like 12 to 25 last year. If he can go at that PPM over 50 minutes, it'll be very good. I think it's a 55 minimum, but early season, it could be more like 60 minutes, couldn't it? And if he gets 60 minutes at his PPM, he'll be – you know, 63 kind of points.
And they've got that really tough draw, which a lot of the game, like, it's not like it's a tough draw with a bad side. Like, Souths are a good side, so they're going to be in a lot of arm wrestles, you'd think, in the first month, 6 weeks.
Yep. Look, I think draft-wise, he'll probably go late rounds because he's just one of those ones that flies under the radar. I think he'll go, like, round five-ish. And he's one that I'd probably be looking to get when you're looking to fill your second front row spot. You could do a lot worse than having him as your first, but I think we've gone over some other names. Like, people will probably grab Tohu before they grab Totola.
Which I think is crazy. I'd much prefer Tevita. Tohu does have the jewel, but I'd still take Tevita over Tohu as in draft.
Yep.
Just based off value.
His pros for me, he leveled up last year from 12 onwards, and I think he started to look like a dominant forward. Before that, he was a bit of a... It's not a plotter, but he just had his moments were so much less frequent. Whereas he sort of seemed to take the pack on his back, I reckon, last year from 12 onwards. And I really am expecting that he's going to continue that. Some of the scores last year from round 12 onwards, a 71, a 102, a 99, a 77. So if he plays the whole year like that, he'll be sort of in the mid, you know, in the 60s, low to mid 60s. The Souths have lost a few important players in the middle, and they look a little bit skinny, particularly with those injuries. Look, his cons are that he's sort of on an awkward price, and there's guys around 75K cheaper. Well, I wrote that they'll do better, but look, if he's only getting 50 minutes, they'll do better. I think players like Gilbert, you know, you can get them for quite a bit cheaper. You know, Welch, maybe, or people who might like one of those ones in the 400s that could probably do the same sort of output. And he's got a mix of low ones and high ones. You know, you see those 71, 102, 99, 77. That's up like tuppenny sort of levels, isn't it? But he's got a low one in him. He can do some 30s and 40s as well. So I think he can be frustrating at times because he does have a quiet game. But he's a watch, definitely, for me. And I think he's a quality front rower. I just worry about the consistency. But I reckon this year that could be one of those moves where you save yourself, you know, a good penny in the front row to start the year.
Yeah, I think you got to have some big balls to start with him. But it's not a bad pick at all. Like, if you showed me your team and I had to tolerate, I'm not going to talk you out of it. He's one of those guys where, like, if you go for it, I think it's a great pick. I'm just not too sure.
A lot
sure
of people go
him.
Like the next bloke on the list, but if you saw it to Tully, you'd be like, yeah, I don't mind it.
Yeah, yeah. The next bloke on the list, Luke Thompson, currently at 3.8% ownership. Last year, only averaged 48.7. Look, this year I've got him pegged at a 58. That could be a 66. It could be a 42. Like, honestly, he could go as high as 66, 67. It just depends. I mean, buys in round 13, 17, 23, an Englishman as well. So, you know, does get 3 months of uninterrupted footy and then we'll cover, you know, a couple of weeks in the middle. Does have 13 and 17, which is kind of awkward, you know, two buys in a month. In draft, you know, I've got him about round 6, thanks to his duel. The duel is handy. The pros for Luke Thompson: does have an uninterrupted preseason. Oh, sorry, underpriced due to inconsistent minutes last year, in and out of form, injury, whatnot. Does have a full preseason now. But he was a proven gun a few seasons ago. He's one of those rare props that can find the try line. Does have a handy duel with very late buys. The cons is a very congested middle rotation. You know, you've got Max King, TPJ, Ryan Sutton, Corey Waddell, Jackson Tarpin, Tapine. Where do the minutes come from? I feel like 512 with the minutes is probably a tad expensive to gamble on with the injuries to Sele, to Havili. I'd probably rather pay an extra 20K, take a punt on Totola, or drop down to a couple of the cheaper guys that we will talk about moving forward. Nice short and sharp with Luke Thompson. I was keen early on in the preseason. But yeah, looking at that rotation now that, you know, the word out of the camp of the Bulldogs is that RFM will play on the edge. We were sort of banking on TPJ playing a little bit of edge, take out some minutes, but TPJ looks like he's going to be through the middle rotation. They love Jackson Tapine, Corey Waddell. I mean, you've even got Andrew Davey on the books at the Bulldogs as well. Not that I expect him to take many minutes, but, you know, it's just more names to add to the rotation.
It seems more like a beefy pack than the Souths one with their injuries and losses. Yeah,
exactly. And you've said before, like, those Totola scores, he does have that 100-point upside, does have the 70-point game in him as well, which is, you know, a big drawing factor of Thompson. And if you can match it with Totola with more consistency, I'd rather go there. But, yeah, just a lot of mouths to feed at the Bulldogs. I was keen early on, but I'd give it a pass. And, yeah, surprising that he is owned by nearly 4% of teams.
Well, I mean, like you said, we get on a narrative, don't we? And that's that the Dogs are going to be better this year. So we'll get a look at them today on day of recording because it's in the trials. Dan Safidi.
I was going to say, at the start of the podcast, you talked about players impressing, players not impressing so much. How much do you put Daniel Saifidi's performance down the other night to match fitness, hot weather, or how much do you put it down to him maybe not being the mid-price savior that we...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thought he was going to be.
Well, we were all saying it's got to be a resurgent year from Dan Safidi. They've lost Clem, who was absolutely outstanding last year, elite kind of performer. And we know that Dan Safidi has that in him. Both Safidi boys started the game yesterday, and I just thought that the Knights looked like their middle was soft. I mean, these guys, I know that it's just a trial, so, you know, maybe they're just going out and taking it easy. It's kind of hard to know whether that's what they were doing. You and I were messaging, and you were like, oh, I haven't loved what I've seen from DSAF. And I was like, well, they've got to at least have some pride in their middle, and it didn't look like they had that. I don't think I even had him in my team, but I just put an absolute red line through him for me. That's not to say that people can't go him, because he is You know, he's a bargain, isn't he? And you can believe that maybe it was just a trial and they went a little bit lighter on, and that there's going to be better things for him. They did go out with, you know, a pretty average team. They've got a lot of big or better players to come back into the team, but I didn't love what I saw, I'll tell you that much. Look, he's 9% owned.
That seems low, considering maybe it's just the Twitter hype, and maybe, like, Supercoach isn't as popular on Twitter as what I thought it was, but, like, 9% seems low for the amount of hype I've seen for DSAV.
Yeah, well, I mean, people have probably, well, I don't know, we did this before the trial was on, I'd say people, it's probably even lower now in real life. I'm projecting him for 58 this year. Now, that was, look, if it is the case, it's a ripping deal, isn't it? PPM of 1.05, because look, his PPM went down ill last year, didn't it? Compared to his career. This is basically his career PPM. Last year it was 0.8. So he's going to need to bump it up 0.2. If he's getting 55 minutes, it'll be a 58. So the PPM needs to be his career PPM, and it needs to be 55 minutes for him to reach the 58. Buys in round 10, 14, and 19. Look, his pros, you've lost Clem, you've lost Barnett. You know, there's some minutes to be taking. And I think that DSAF, he's the one that screams the bloke to get the extra 5 to 7 minutes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Whether he's going to deliver in it at the 1.5 or where it's going to be the 0.8 from last year, that's where my huge worries are on him. Last year, you know, his PPM was the worst of his career. So I'm expecting him and hoping, if you're an owner of him, for him to return to his 1.05 PPM or better. And he's got no buy till... I don't know. What did I say? I can't even understand my own writing.
Round 10. So
yeah, round 10.
You got 2.5 months. I mean, I think if you were keen on DSAF, I wouldn't put the red line for him based off that performance. I definitely watch one more week next week with a full strength side. I think everyone's going to be playing next week. So
yeah, you get an idea of the minutes then too, because if it is up around the 55, I think we can probably take an estimate that being... You know, with Clem, you take Clem out of there, he's going to have the extra responsibility, and I think the PPM will get back up over one.
I think he scored 36 points in about 45 minutes, 46 minutes or so. So not awful for a first hit out, but definitely wait and watch next week.
That's what I put the cons. The Klein last year is a worry. The Knights are a worry. The coach is a worry. He'll need 55 minutes to be a good option.
You talk about PPM. There was none better than Royce Hunt last year. The best PPM in Supercoach. 417K at 1% ownership right now. Last year averaged 39.7. This year I've got him pegged at about a 45. Buys in round 5, 13, 17. In drafts, I expect this guy to go undrafted in a lot of leagues. So you'd be able to pick him up, you know, 15th round plus. The pros, as I said, the highest PPM in the game at 1.35, which is, that's high. That's a really, really good work rate. And that was over 18 games. So it's a big sample size. He did that 2 years ago as well. I'm taking out 2021 because he was injured. But he did it in 2020 as well. I think he had a 1.33. So the bloke churns through work. He does not need many minutes to feast. And with a few outs at the end of last year, he flourished with a 3-round average of 66. Now, like I said, he doesn't need more than sort of 35 minutes, I think, to be a value. He played 29 minutes last year, so we're looking for a 6-minute uptick this year. The cons, the minutes, you know, are the worry because the Sharks do have a lot. They're going to have Dale, Toby Rudolph, Brendan Hamlin-Newelli, McInnes, Kafusi, and now Wade Graham playing through the middle. Look, he played 29 last year. I don't think 35 is out of the question. And if he does get 35 minutes, you know, I'd be looking at, I would say, 50 average. And he's priced at 39. So, you know, I think that minutes are a huge thing. Definitely watch the trials. But there's no doubt about it. The minute this bloke gets a sniff, anything happens at Sharks camp, the minute he looks like he's playing 35, 40 minutes, jump on him because his work rate, as I said, 1.35. When we're talking about front row forwards averaging, you know, 1.1, 1.12, for him to come out and do 1.35 points a minute is absolutely huge.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, when you have minutes worries, you're like, well, I need this player to go at a one and get 55 minutes.
We're talking about Hunt getting 35 minutes to be viable.
Yeah, one of those 1.35ers, if they get 45, 50 minutes, you're absolutely laughing. So, you know, he'd be one that I probably wouldn't have the courage to start with because I'd be worried about how many minutes he's going to get. But I'd be having a look. And if in a few rounds, imagine if he was at 40 minutes at his PPM. Wow.
Huge, huge. Another Raiders boy, Corey Horsburgh. Yeah.
The old red nut, Corey Horsburgh, front row forward, second row forward. So he's dual, 505,100. He's 1.3% ownership. So that's an Uber pod. The 2022 average was 48. So he was right around, you know, Dan Saifidi sort of stuff last year. I'm projecting him for a 54 this year. His career PPM is 1.3. So it's right around that Roy Sun. He's a busy player when he's on there. And I'm saying maybe he'll get 45 minutes. The reason I say that is because he is tipped to be the one that's going to start in lock for the Raiders. It's the big conjecture point over players. You know, we think maybe it could be Emre Gula. We think it could be Mooney. I'm hearing the big red nut, Horsburgh. The horse is going to start at 13. So I think if he starts at 13, he'll probably go back to the bench. Then it'll probably be Trey Mooney or something on. I think he'll go back in and sort of spell a few minutes in the front row to finish the game. So I reckon he's going to get 45 minutes. I think he can continue. He's one of those, like, he's always looking for an offload or a fend. He's always wrestling in there, getting upset as well. Has a bit of a cry and storms off. He does everything. He's doing it, does it all. He'll never be a boring own, I'll tell you that much. But look, he's got buys in round 8, round 16, round 20. Like I said, he's got a very healthy PPM. Look, the cons, I was like, it's a real hard one to peg with the Raiders pack, isn't it? It's hard at times. We've had trepidation about owning Tuppany in the past because we're like, well, Ricky does not give, you know, front rowers and locks great big minutes. He likes to play second rowers for big minutes, but he doesn't ever play these middles for big minutes. So, you know, I'm projecting 45 minutes for him to get to 48. If you really wanted to be value, you'd want to get 50 minutes out of him, you know, at his PPM to sort of be worth the buy. I don't know if I've got the courage to do it because there's just too much unknowns around the Raiders pack, but I mean, like we said about Royce Hunt, I think Corey Horsburgh interests me the same way.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, especially if he gets to 13. But the question is, minutes, that's always the issue. But, you know, if he does start and plays big minutes, he's absolutely huge value. Could be similar to Hudson Young last year. Now, that's going to wrap up the sort of tier two players. Now, we're getting into the avoid like the plague. And yeah. Many avid listeners might realize I haven't mentioned Payne Haas any of this.
Big pain, Huss, isn't it? Avoid like the plague.
Oh, I just don't know. I mean, like, he's 18% ownership, which I feel is extraordinarily high. I expected this to be way lower. But 662K, 18% ownership. Last year, averaged 63. This year, I've got him pegged at about a 68. So a 5-point uptick, which sounds crazy. You know, 70 average guy we're avoiding. Buys in round 16, 19, 25. So, you know, an Origin player as well. He's going to miss a lot of that middle portion of the year. Out in a pretty key round of round 25. If you do decide to start with him, you pretty much have to sell him around 12, I would say. And that's why I've got him as an avoid like the plague. I mean, there's just no way to get him back into your side at all post round 12, I think, round 13. The pro in draft, I've got him as a late second, early third, which I think is viable. Pros, proven gun, no doubt. Absolutely one of the very few set and forget front row forwards at his best. And at his best, he could push an 80 average. We know this. We've seen it before. The cons with Payne Haas is the injury issues are starting to really pile up. A niggle here, an AC joint there, a syndesmosis here, just, you know, rotation. It's starting to build up over the last 4 years or so. And he has had a huge sort of 12-minute drop-off in the last 2 years. Like, his minutes are getting less and less. His averages are getting less and less. Like, if you look at his graph, for the last 4 years, his averages have been significantly dropping year on year. And it's just, yeah, a whole host of off-field issues for Payne Haas. You know, there's just a lot going on for his side of the family. The emergence of Pat Carrigan as well is a big minute middle, so we don't need to rely on Payne Haas if we're Kevin Walters as much. I feel like another positive for Payne Haas, 63, I feel like that's his worst. We're not going to see any worse, and he will only go up. But the question is how high? I just think with the historical trend of his average dropping year on year, you know, Pat Carrigan proving that he can play big minutes through the middle, everything going on in the off-field issues combined with the fact that, you know, he's probably done round 14 for the rest of the year being relevant. I'm not really keen when at 662K.
Yeah, I mean, you could pay 30 grand and get Tuppany, or you could save yourself 30 grand and go Cotter. So, you know, I think it's a bit like Tohu. It's just people knowing what has been. And maybe that's why he's got the ownership that he has, I think.
Just to peel behind the curtains a little bit here, because this will go into our next point as well. I generally will do the list of these players and give them tomato, and he and I sort of sort through them. I looked at Payne Haas, and when I was writing up his player profile, I was going to be like, before I even opened up his profile, I was going to be like, this is the lowest we're going to see Payne Haas in terms of averages for the last 4 years. But I was shocked to see he's nearly 20% owned. I just think that's huge.
Yeah, it is. I mean, look, in the past, he was 60% owned. A 68% owned player of the past will always get over 15%. You know, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, are you in agreement with me that he's just an avoid? Because, like I said, come round 14, I think he's done.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, I just think it's a Kevy and the Broncos are hard to peg, and Payne Haas is hard to peg. Like you said, it's declining over the last few years, so you're going to be going, I think it's going to go up again. It's going to go up again to what he was before. I don't know. I just wouldn't be taking the risk myself. In the front row, if it's not going to be one of these top-tier guns, you know, I'd get down to a midi, and I don't have Payne Haas in one of those top-tier guns that I'd want.
No. Also, as I said before, peeling back the curtain, I make these lists and give them tomato, and we sort of divvy up the player profiles. I chucked this next man in the avoid like the plague. And I
know,
got,
and he's in my team.
I
disagreed.
I got a swift message about 5 minutes later being like, I cannot have this Christian Welch slander.
Yeah, well, look, I did the research on him, and I was like, actually, he looks pretty good. I mean, look, there are some cons, so we'll go through those. Christian Welch, 464,000. He's 16.4% owned. That doesn't really surprise me because he's a value pick. He's probably in there with the DSAF sort of ones as well, a couple of dollars cheaper than him. His 2021 average was 59. I'm projecting him for 59.5. Now, that's assuming that he gets 50 minutes. But that's a conservative estimate. If he gets any more than 50 minutes at his 0.19, just let's say he gets 55 minutes, he's up into the 60s, Christian Welch. His buys are in round 9, round 13, round 19. In draft, he's probably going to go really late for front row forwards. For a bloke that you averaged 60 the last time he was playing a full season, you know, without injuries and stuff. He only played one game last year. So there'll probably be nothing on the board, really. You can just slot him in as your second front row, and I think he'll average 60+. I'm tipping him this year to have 55 minutes. I think in that pack, I think it's a 1.19 at 55 because they've lost half their bloody forward pack. They've got Nelson, who's not, can't really do big, huge minutes. And the big thing is can he do 55 after coming back from a big, big injury? His career PPM, and the minutes with the opportunity of that's been presented because of the players that have exited. If he gets 55 minutes, he'll average 65 based on his PPM. My absolute official statement on Welch is that he is a buy, not an avoid. But look, let's get to the cons. He's coming back off an Achilles, which we've seen those Achilles injuries, and you hear players say, well, it was worse than an ACL. It was harder to come back off. He did his in game one last year, so he's had a year, one whole year. But is he going to be – do you worry that they're going to ease him back in and say, we do not want you redoing that injury, and we do not want you overdoing it. You'll have 45 minutes to start.
No, it's not the minutes that I'm worried about. I mean, look, I had to dig very much deep into the...
His career PPM, 1.19.
Oh, don't get me wrong. If he wasn't injured, I'm not having the stance. I'm not saying he's a bad pick. I mean, he's priced at a 46. Like, he's underpriced. I'll 100% vouch for that. And to say he's an avoid like the plague, probably a little bit of an overstatement, probably trying to generate some hype. I just think, I mean, the NRL physio, and this was taken, he made this when Sean Johnson did his Achilles. 80 to 90% of players are able to return to their pre-injury performance, but not usually until after their second season. Now, the thing with an Achilles injury is it's big. I mean, it's tougher to come back from an ACL from all reports. I just think
he's not a Sean Johnson though. He doesn't rely
no,
on
no, I get speed. That. I get that.
Lateral.
But I just think he's priced at 46. If you own Christian Welch, you will make money. The question is how much. I just have him pegged at sort of a 53, 54. Now, when people are listening to this podcast, this will be coming out on the Monday. So he will have either scored four tries in the trial and I look like a clown. Or
and he'll look like an absolute weapon.
Or he plays, look, he plays 20 minutes.
Videos. I've seen their training videos and I'm watching all the forwards run and he is running and turning quicker than all of them. He really does not seem to be restricted movement-wise, just from the footage I've seen. I think he can do 55 minutes this year with, you know, you're losing the Bromwiches out of there. You're losing half your bloody forward pack. He's there experienced. I mean, he was an origin forward. I think he was probably.
Oh, I love the bloke. I think when he gets back to his best, he'll be sensational. Yeah. And
so what you're banking on is that he's ready.
I just don't think
he's not ready to go.
I think he will average 59 this year. I just don't know how close he'll be to that in the first six rounds. In saying that, he has been in my team in the last 48 hours. So although I'm not keen, I do see a lot of value. He's averaged 59 last or the year before last. He's priced at 46 this year. There is value there. I'm just concerned. And I think that's the biggest thing. I'm not doubting his ability as a player.
It's not complete confidence that you're going in with him. Like,
it's just the injury,
and
that's all.
The thing. I feel nervous about Dan Saifidi, and I'm like, well, I'll just save 20K and be just as nervous about Christian Welsh. Melbourne Storm have a pretty nice draw to start the year, and I think he's going to be a leader, much like Dan Saifidi in that pack. Traditionally, he's got at a pretty good clip PPM-wise. So, it's one of those ones where you've got to have a bit of faith that he's over that Achilles and he's not going to start slowly, because if he does... You know, we're going to be sitting back going, well, good on you, Ado. Why'd you say unequivocally my official statement is a buy? You told everyone to buy him.
I don't think you'll get burned.
I'm going to start with him. I think with 50 minutes, he'll still get a tick under 60. And if he gets 55, he'll score 65.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get burnt by him. I'm just not sure how much upside. Like, we've got 10 minutes until this trial kicks off, the Roosters trial. So let's speed through the last three players. Jack Hetherington at 266K. Jesus Christ, he's 19% ownership. Jesus.
No, we haven't even seen him run out in a bloody Newcastle jersey.
Now, averaged 32 last year. Was injured in saying that. This year, I've got him pegged at a 40, and that's max. That's like best case. In draft, I've got him going undrafted. The pros, there ain't many. He's got late buys, which are around 10, 14, and around 19. A handy jewel, and that's really all the positives I can say. The cons, really, really poor PPM. Even at prop, he wasn't even a 1.0. We're talking about Royce Hunt being a 1.3. When Heather's not even pushing a 1, that's a worry. I worry about his minutes. I worry about his 19% ownership. He just gives me really, really plod vibes. He's priced at a 26. So if he does get 35, 9 points of value, he'll make a little bit of cash, but not enough cash at a 35 average to sell. And round 10, round 14 buys make it kind of awkward. I don't know. I mean, they love Lachlan Fitzgibbon. Brody Jones is
everyone
fine.
Thought that maybe he was going to start in the second row, and then there could have been an opportunity for it to be value. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. So, I don't know.
No, I'm not keen. Yeah, 19% ownership is just huge. I think I understand it because he's been in my team, but not because I plan on starting with him. But because he is 266K, he's one of the cheaper... he's one of the more expensive cheapies, so it's easy to downgrade. I'd much rather take a punt on Mr. Sean Kepi at 274K,
Ado. Yeah, 7.4% ownership. That's probably... I think I'd probably choose him over Hetherington. His 2022 average was 26. He was just like a bit part minutes. Wasn't he off the bench?
He was shit. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, look, I projected him this year for 39.82, so it's under 40. So he's actually probably – that's if he gets 45 minutes. Kepi, last year he didn't get anything close to that minutes-wise. So I'm saying – and his PPM's not over one either, 0.885. So he's not as shiny as you'd think he would. He's probably going to be in the same category as Hetherington. But I'm tipping him for a slight minutes uptake based on their lineup. I think he might be a chance to start. You lose sort of Tapau out of there. I think there might be 5 to 7 minutes for some of these middles. So Kepi could get 45. If he gets 45 minutes, he'll score your 40 points.
I think with the Manly middles, I don't really think it matters who starts and who doesn't. It looks like they're all sort of, mixed in with an equal minute share. So it's just, we're banking on Kepi having a bit of an uptick in performance.
Yeah, tiny bits. But when he gets an uptick in minutes, it's at a 0.885. It's not going to be anything to write home about. He might just be a really slow burn, bubble away type bloke. his cons, the PPM is quite rank, really. That's what I said. And the minutes are hard to peg. I'm saying 45, but who bloody knows, eh? They've got a new coach in there. He does things a little bit differently. So I just think somebody in the 230K players will probably do just as well, don't you reckon?
Yeah, I'm in agreeance. Davey Mowali, 234K, 14% ownership, which I think needs to be a little bit high, honestly. Last year, averaged 22.2. This year, I've got him pegged at a 42 average, a 20-point increase. Buys in round 16, 20, 26. In draft, undrafted. Pros, a lot of minutes on offer here at the Bunnies, and Mowali is getting older, you know, more mature, growing into his body, growing into first grade. You get 4 months of growth as well for Mowali before a buy kicks in, so you're going to get 16 weeks before you have to look at selling him. Even if he's a slow burn, 16 weeks is plenty of time. The cons, you've got Arrow, Knight, Host, it's a weird sort of rotation there. One of them's going to play edge. One of them's going to get minutes through the middle. How much will Jason Demetriou trust his youngster with minutes? His PPM's not amazing, slightly only above one, but I think as he gets older, that will only improve. And yeah, I mean, the injuries to Harmsele, Saliba Havili, there's going to be minutes there. The same reason why we like Totola, the same reason why I like Mowali, and the same reason why midway through next week, I'm going to climax over the thought of Cam Murray when we talk about him. But yeah, David Mowali, 234K, I think he's basically all but guaranteed a bench spot.
Yeah, I like him. I think of the $234,000 price points, even those 230 up to Hetherington and Kepi, he's my favorite because he's going to get their score and he's going to do it for cheaper than both of those other two we just mentioned. And I think he looks, he's more fun to watch, isn't he, than the other ones. He looks like he's on the up tick. He looks like he's getting better. So I like him. I think he's the guy. I think I've got him and Witikamano on my bench. So he's my one that I've decided to go with, and I like him.
And just a quick one. He's not on the run sheet today, but based off his trial performance yesterday and the fact that, you know, you've got Sele and Havili out, I really like the look of Shaq Mitchell too. I think he's also 234K. He ran the ball really well in the All-Stars game, and wouldn't be surprised to see him finally break into first grade. I think you can toss out between Mowali and Shaq Mitchell.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, you'd wonder if one of the others comes back, but the Shaq jumps out. But, you know, you can take your pick.
Ado, who is our last player of today?
Ben Murdoch-Basila. The last one, front row forward, second row forward. So he's got the dual, 234,800. I know a few people like the Supercoach Guns that got a bit excited yesterday in the trial because he scored 40-odd something points.
Look, I've been on Gunners' back all preseason because I've had Murdoch-Basila in my side since day one. But... yeah, I mean, he got 49 with a try assist. Not fantastic.
I was like, oh, well, it's not actually very good, mate, with the you know, the attacking points he got in there. But he's 7.2% owned. I mean, you might as well have him if you're going to go with Jack Hetherington.
Because yeah, I'd rather Ben over Jack.
Yep, because that St. George pack is shit. And, you know, stranger things have happened with that coach. He could start Ben Whistler in the second row. Who knows?
Just saying, just before you go on your analysis, just looking at the eye test, he looks a lot fitter. I think at the Warriors, he was done for pace a lot, really caught out, but he just looks a little bit leaner. And yeah, maybe now,
the score wasn't great in that game against St. Helens, but he looked good. He looked one of their better ones to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if it's an eye test type of thing, but look, he's averaging 2022 was 19. A lot of the Warriors fans that I talk to are like, don't put yourself
Anton, shout out to Anton again. He is not a BMM fan. He's not a big fan
of Ben Murdoch-Basila.
He hates him. But yeah, that 19 average was in 25 minutes. So worth noting, you've got him pegged at a 31. Is that just a, you know, uptick in minutes?
Yeah, I'm saying if he gets 35 minutes at his career PPM, he'll score 31. He will be undrafted. He'll be a waiver as he won't be drafted at all. And he may just, you might get him on the waiver list, you know, if you've got to cover an injury or a suspension. It's worth noting that if you're not going to go with the fullback in round one, if you're looking for a loop option, he could be your guy. If you want to have, just say you want to look at Cleary, you know, and you want to go into a Teddy captain or something, you want to have a dragon in there, I think the choices are probably Ben Murdoch, Mosilla, or Tyrell Sloan, aren't they?
Definitely, definitely. Well, look, the Front Row Forward podcast a lot quicker than the Hooker podcast. I worry about how long the 2RF podcast is going to take, because there's going to be a lot there. And in saying that's going to take us a long time to research and get all these stats. So sit tight. I don't have an exact time when we're doing it. But yeah, that's the Front Row Forward podcast done. If you've made it this far, you deserve to be in our podcast only group with the group code 988813. Ado, thank you very much for your time, mate. The Roosters Melbourne game has just kicked off, so I'm going to strap into some Sunday Arvo footy. I will talk to you when I talk to you. I'm going to be doing the 2RF podcast. It's going to be a very, very big one.
Yeah, looking forward to it, mate. Enjoy the game. I'll go watch too, and we'll talk about second row forward soon.
Lovely. See you soon, guys. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.